Football Daily. There was plenty of goals and stories from elsewhere around the league. Rafa and I will be having a chat about some of those later on in the show, but I'm delighted to say that we are going to be joined now by a little bit of something different, not to focus on the English Premier League at the start of the week. And instead, we're going to take a trip across the channel down just south of England to the beautiful country of France, where we'll be looking at PSG and Monaco and all things Ligue 1. As joining us today here on World Football Daily, I'm delighted to say, from Goal.com, a very good friend of the show and a top man as well, it's Mr. Robin Berner, of course, joining us here to talk all things French football. Robin, man, a pleasure to have you on the show. Happy New Year to you. Although are we getting too late for those sorts of New Year's just yet? New Year's greetings. I mean, we are, you know, getting towards the end of January now. A very happy New Year to you either way, though, mate. I hope you are well.
I'm very well, thanks. I don't think it's ever too late to be polite like that, so I think it's important.
I'm glad you're a man like myself, very much based on keeping manners and being polite. I appreciate that, Robin. Thanks very much, mate. Fantastic weekend of French football, as always. Rarely lets us down, of course. And really, to kick it off with, let's start with the 5-0 thumping that PSG handed out last night against Nantes, who, aside, came up from Ligue 2 last year and impressed and still are impressing early on this year, but really came up against met their match, I think, against PSG.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I think that was probably Paris Saint-Germain's best performance under Laurent Blanc, and, you know, potentially their best performance since getting a couple of draws against Barcelona in the Champions League last year. In terms of the domestic performance, you know, it's very rare for French teams to win so comprehensively. You might look at La Liga or the Bundesliga and you see Barcelona and Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, they all win by big scores on a weekly basis, but that doesn't really happen in France so often. So it's certainly a real message of intent from Paris Saint-Germain, who looked really, really sharp and really, really good yesterday.
It was a complete dismantling from what I've been able to catch on the extended highlights that I've seen today. Robin, you say it's one of the best performances we've seen of PSG. Does that take any credit away from Nantes? Were they underwhelming, or were they just not allowed to play by the Parisian giants?
Well, I didn't think they had their tactics right from the outset. They kind of let Paris Saint-Germain play a little bit too easily. But by the same token, I think PSG were nigh on unplayable yesterday. I think had they come up against anybody in France and most European teams, they would have won by a comfortable margin. So while I don't think Nantes were close to their best, you know, Paris Saint-Germain were just so strong and so impressive. I think, you know, most of the credit has to go to them.
Do you think this PSG side is playing with more chemistry compared to last year and previous years? Are they a side that look even more settled now?
Yeah, in my opinion, that is the case. Laurent Blanc, you know, when he came in, there were lots of questions about whether he could handle the egos in the dressing room, but he seems to have done that almost perfectly. You know, the side set up really well. Even Cavani, who's said to be unhappy on the right wing, he's performing an outstanding job for them at the moment. And, you know, his relationship with Ibrahimovic on the field is certainly much, much better than I expected it to be at the start of the season. And you know, there's no obvious areas of weakness in the team at the moment, whereas, you know, in the past there were maybe problems in certain areas, and they're not nearly so obvious.
With a balance like they have got at the moment in this PSG side, and the chemistry getting the best out of these players at the moment, what do you make of the reports about Johan Cabaye and the possible arrival to Paris Saint-Germain, and how that could potentially unsettle, or do you think it will only benefit PSG if they do end up bringing in Cabaye from Newcastle?
Well, I think in the short term, it's certainly a move that Paris Saint-Germain need to make, because they are short on they're short on midfielders at the moment, which is a problem. Adrian Rabiot's injured. There's talk that he might be out for several weeks because of a knee ligament problem. And beyond their starting three, and maybe Javier Pastore, who's underwhelmed in France, particularly recently, they don't really have anybody else at all for that position. Obviously, going forward into the coming months, there's going to be a lot of big games. They're still involved in four competitions. So it's unfair and probably just about impossible to expect the three players they have at the moment to play on a twice-weekly basis. For that reason, they're certainly looking at a midfielder. It's my information that Cabaye's perhaps not the midfielder that they're after at the moment because they've been put off by Newcastle's asking price. And it could be that they move for Milan Pjanic of Roma, who's kind of hinted at an interest that he would like to come. Certainly in the press are going big on Kabay, but Pjanic might be a more likely signing for them.
Do you think he would fit in better at PSG than Kabay Pjanic?
I think that Kabay might be a better fit for what they need at the moment. Pjanic might give them a little bit more going forward than any of their midfielders at the moment, at least in terms of goals and maybe a little bit of creativity in the final third. But Kabay would offer a more sort of solid foundation, just a sort of steady presence in the middle of the park. Blanc does like the sort of Barcelona approach with three solid midfielders, so it could be that there is still some interest in Kabay. But I think either player would fit in quite well to the system.
Talk elsewhere as well around France of Monaco, and people still are bringing up the possibility that Monaco could be losing a couple of players this January. Do you buy into any of these rumours, these hints at all? I mean, Ranieri has come out and said that everything is okay with Falcao, but there are still people that are watching Monaco and expecting a change at some point.
Well, I think the way that Falcao is playing at the moment is certainly underwhelming. He's been very poor over the course of the last month since he came back from his injury, in inverted commas, because nobody really knows just how much of an injury that was. He doesn't look quite as content as he did at the start of the season, but that might just be because he's in poor form. I don't actually think it would be that much of a loss for Monaco to lose Falcao in terms of their play at the moment, because they have tended to play better recently without him. Certainly, James Rodriguez has looked a little bit sharper when he's not been available. So I don't think it would be the loss that you might expect. But at the same time, in terms of the overall project, I don't think Monaco would want to lose him at this stage, and I'd be very, very surprised if he was to go before the end of January.
Oh, I was going to say, would that kind of almost show that this project Monaco of the big money spending wouldn't work if Falcao did go at this point in time? Because it would show that it's not the right place for a superstar to go and be a superstar in football if he were only to be there for a few months or so. Is it more about reputation than anything else then?
Yeah, I think it could be. Obviously, you don't want to lose a player of his quality, regardless of the situation.
Mm.
But Monaco just, he was a flagship summer signing. They need a flagship player to really carry the project forward, and Falcao was the man that seemed to be the one to do that.
Do you think Monaco is the right place to have this sort of project? After half a year of them being in Liga and obviously second place, it's been a great season for them. Although Moutinho the other week was saying that Monaco aren't a title contender, they're just making sure they want to get Champions League football for next year. In the grand scheme of things, how we've seen it start in Liga though this season, is it a project that you think can work and pay off and bring in the big, big superstars down to the south of France?
Well, I find this question quite interesting because a lot of people have asked me this in the past, and I think that Monaco, you have to remember, aren't just a club. Although they have effectively bought their way to the top in the last couple of years, they have a club. They have a history of attracting superstars because of the moneyed surroundings of the principality. They've been in the Champions League final before. They've regularly made it quite far in European competitions, particularly in the early 90s, which is, it's more than two decades ago now. They have been there and done it in the past. They're not just a completely new club. So I think history shows that it can work. Whether it can work in today's environment where, maybe there's bigger money in the Premier League, that certainly makes it more complicated. But I think it certainly can work, yeah.
It's still, as I say, going very strongly for them. Do you expect them to see them make any adjustments in this January, Robin? They picked up a very nice 2-0 win against Toulouse on the weekend, and it's still, as I say, going reasonably well at the moment for Ranieri and his men.
It's going reasonably well, but I think if you look at performances, they've not really been particularly convincing since the turn of the year. Whether they'll sign anybody, I would say they've obviously signed Lucina Traore and they're set to loan him out to Everton, it seems to be at the moment. But I don't think they'll particularly strengthen their squad. I think they're more focused on offloading some of the deadwood. They've got a lot of squad players who were there last season and, you know, don't really get anything like a looking in the first team. So I think their main priority will be to sell in January. Maybe they'll pick up one or two players right at the end of the window, but I don't think that'll be a major priority for them.
Robin, the down at the other end of the table, Montpellier is slipping dangerously close to those relegation spots, and it's quite a sad story after their Cinderella title win over PSG and the beating the dominant force with its truckloads of cash and almost kind of reclaiming that spot of romance in every football fan's heart that kind of followed the Ligue 1 season that year. Is it quite as depressing as a picture is almost that I painted there, that this slide from grace? Now obviously they've seen a number of quality players stripped over the last 18 months from that side, and is there any way back for this Montpellier team that really are struggling this year?
Well, I don't think you'll see them up tight, challenging for the title or Europe over the next couple of years. In terms of that, I think they're gone, but in terms of the relegation battle, I think there's a very strong chance they'll be okay. A lot of their problems in the summer stemmed from appointing Jean Fernandez, who was a very negative coach and who never really got them playing any sort of structured football in terms of going out to win matches. Now they've appointed Roland Courbis, who has taken over just before Christmas, and the results have slowly improved. Mbaye Niang's come from AC Milan, and he's provided them with a little more firepower up front. And now they're looking much more like a team who will go out and win games, will trouble opposition. For example, against Sochaux at the weekend, they looked much, much sharper and they deservedly got a 2-0 win, which has kind of propelled them away from the relegation zone a little bit. So I don't think you'll see Montpellier go down, although they're certainly not going to get back up to the glories of recent years.
And just finally, Robin, Saint-Étienne, a side that in the last year or so have been pushing on towards those Champions League spots and making a very good run for it this year. Talking about Zouma, and apparently he's not going to be up for sale this January, coming out of the club in the last few days. How important is it for them, after they lost Pierre Aubameyang, to keep hold of some of their top talent to ensure that Saint-Étienne do kind of start to embed themselves in the upper echelon of Ligue 1 at the moment?
Yeah, it's certainly very important. It's obviously a difficult job because certainly the tax situation in France at the moment makes life difficult for clubs to hold on to their best players, particularly when there's so much interest from big leagues like Italy or England. But Saint-Étienne have got a fairly solid foundation. They've got a good squad of players, and that's led them to fourth in the league at the moment. And that looks like they're certainly going to challenge Lille for third. They beat Lille last weekend. So I think things are fairly optimistic in Saint-Étienne. But in terms of retaining their top talent, it is obviously going to be important for them.
And that win against Lille, as you say, a massive boost for them in that push for third place. Are they ready, Saint-Étienne, for that sort of kind of spot in Liga? Are they ready to be propelled in behind the likes of PSG and Monaco and possibly even in the near future push on maybe for a Champions League spot?
Well, like you say, they've been gradually building their strength over the last few years, so it would be the next natural progression for them. You know, they might want to establish themselves a little bit in Europe first in terms of the Europa League. I don't think they've got a squad that's quite as strong as Lille's, and certainly in terms of the depth of it. But if you compare them to a lot of other Ligue 1 teams, you're probably looking at putting them in the top five squads. So, you know, they're going to be there or thereabouts in the coming years.
How do they stay there where others have maybe failed? You look at Lyon, who are starting to drift away from that top kind of four or five teams. You look at Marseille, that was so strong last year but aren't replicating that at the moment. And of course, Montpellier as well. How do you stop yourself from going that way down and pushing down towards the mid-table of Liga?
I think, in my opinion, that the recruitment's everything. It's about signing the right players. Marseille probably didn't manage to spend their money quite as shrewdly as they would like to have bought this summer. The Marseille squad isn't quite deep enough. They probably went for quality over quantity to some extent, and it's been kind of punished when they've had injury problems. San Etienne's squad perhaps doesn't have the same quality as Marseille in terms of the first team players, but if you look at their bench, there's some good attacking options on the bench. There's some reasonable defensive options for them. The youth system's provided a handful of players over the course of the last few years. So I think for San Etienne, they've got a good blend of a reasonably good youth system, and they've had some excellent recruitment in recent times, which has allowed them to strengthen their squad as a whole and not necessarily just their first 11.
Robin, we greatly appreciate you joining us here on World Football Daily to give us some insight into both the transfer market and some of the games from the weekend that we've just had. And we hope you enjoy at least the Coupe de France that's taking place this midweek as well. Plenty of French football to be keeping you busy this week, I'm sure, mate.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. Plenty of stories to come.
Cheers, mate. We will look forward to reading on them, especially the PSG Montpellier game taking place on Wednesday. But until then, Robin, have a fantastic week, mate. And we will catch up with you very soon indeed. Take care.
Cheers, catch you soon.
Thanks a lot. Robin Berner there joining us here on World Football Daily, taking us through some of the stories from Ligue 1. Look at some of the transfer targets from this January. And of course, the Coupe de France continues this week as well. We were getting the lowdown on that and the Coupe de la Ligue with Jonathan Johnson last week. Robin giving us some insight into the Kabay and the Pjanic move to PSG. Which one of those could be taking place this January? We'll continue to keep our ears to the ground. And Robin, I'm sure, will be doing the exact same thing to keep us all updated on that. Coming away this week in the Coupe de France, Ajaccio take on Cannes, Lens take on Bastia, Angers, Sochaux, Boulogne take on Rennes. Sète take on Jurassud, Concamieux take on Gangomp, Croix take on Lille, Bastia take on Noir, and Marseille take on Nice on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we've got Mons or Auxerrois take on Monaco, Balagne-les-Rousses take on Bordeaux, Isur take on Lyon, Moulins take on Toulouse, and PSG take on Montpellier. That really is the standout clash from the Coupe de France. And Auxerre take on Dijon, and Cannes take on Plèbes-en-Lerc on Thursday.